But I want to keep changing. I don't want to stay the way I am, because there's still things inside of me that needs to be changed. God needs to clip off some things. He needs to shave some things off. I think about Ralph and I when we got married. I got an engagement ring. I was a senior in high school. And we were going to get married the following year, because I had to finish my high school year, my senior year. And we had a lot of things to do to change. And I have to tell you one real quick thing. My mom was a mother that my dad would travel all the time. She was a very, very strict mother. Strict. So strict that every day when I was going to go to school, my clothes were laid out for me what I was going to wear. I never chose what I was going to wear. Never had a choice to choose what I was going to wear. I'd get up, that's what you're wearing today, and thinking, okay, I'd put it on. But after I graduated, something happened, and I got married. It was like, I'm not wearing that stuff anymore. I don't like it. I don't want to wear it. Even if I liked it, I wasn't going to wear it, just because I wanted to change. I've always been different, Ralph knows, in what I wear, how I think. I've always been a black and white person, and if somebody does something, you're wrong, that is wrong to do, blah, 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 blah. But we need to keep changing, changing in every area of our life. I don't care if we're 90 years old, we keep needing to change to be like Jesus. He's our ultimate person that we need to be like. Absolutely, in everything, in patience and love and kindness and goodness and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I want to keep changing. I don't want to be like I am. I pray that in a month, I'm totally different. I pray that in 2 months, I'm totally different. I want people to follow me because of Jesus, not because of me. Not because of what I say, not because of what I wear or what I think. I want them to follow me because they know that Jesus is inside of me. And that's the end of that.
To change or not to change? It's a great question. And I think we do get comfortable, particularly when things are going well, we get comfortable. And it's the Holy Spirit, it's God's wisdom that comes along and makes us really uncomfortable. So now what do I do? I gotta change nail polish, that's what it is. So, no, it's, God is just so, he's so gracious. Patty and I have enjoyed all of these years. We became Christian in a Presbyterian church. We got radically saved. We were watching Jim and Tammy Baker, but we didn't tell our friends at the Presbyterian church we were watching Jim and Tammy Baker. We got saved in a Presbyterian church through some ministry. Jim and Kate, Pastor, came from Atlanta, and we don't have revivals in Presbyterian church. We have lay renewals. So during that lay renewal, Patty's hand went up when the guy said, "Who wants to see? Who wants to accept Jesus?" Boom, hand went up, and I was looking out of the corner of my eye. I was, "Oh my, what has she done now here?" Because this is all new. But within just a few days, God really reached out and just transformed us. We had the delight. I may have shared this here sometime. We had the delight after we knew we both were saved, and I will tell one, and I may have said this. Camp Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright used to be very, very popular in our generation back in the 60s and 70s. And Patty and I got saved in the early 70s. And he had two little booklets. One was called The Four Spiritual Laws. It was a nice gold little booklet, little track. And then had one that was blue, and it said, "How to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, the day that Patty decided it was time for her to accept Jesus and give her heart to the Lord, she went everywhere looking for that little gold book. She went everywhere, and then finally she opened up and said, "Here," she pulls up the blue book. So she went right past the four spiritual laws. She went straight to how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when she got saved, she got the whole shebang. Boom! And she Presbyterian church, she's calling out people with words of knowledge. She's prophesying over people. And then, "Well, how do you know that?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know how to. We had no clue what we were doing. And she had no clue that she was actually prophesying and sharing words of knowledge. And we went to our pastor after a couple of weeks and said, "Pastor, said, "Pastor Walker, we want to let you know." And we had a private conversation. We said, "Patty and I just want you to know, we've been saved. We have been saved." And he was looking at us. And Patty said, "You know, Michael and Jimmy Tam and Baker on TV, we got saved." And his eyes about that big around. And we said, "I hope you understand, we've both been sprinkled. We both in the Presbyterian Church, we got the dribble on the head. But we want to get dunked." And he looked at us with his eyes about that big around and said, "We've been saved. We want to get dunked." He looks at us and bless his heart. And he said, "How about a foot washing?" I don't think that's quite what we have. So we stuck off without telling anybody down to my mother's church in Alabama and got dumped a couple of weeks later. But we've loved walking together in the things of the Lord all of these years, and we're just delighted to be here. We've known Todd and his lovely bride for years, and many of you in here, Doug Jolly. This gentleman one over here, I don't know if you know him. We've known him so long. I mean, Doug was 18 years old, and he's now, 110? No, we've known Doug. Doug lived with us a short period of time when we were at a Baptist church across town called Forest Drive Baptist. So we've known Doug forever. Shannon, we've known Shannon probably almost as long as that. So just, it's wonderful to be here. Steve sitting on the back row. He was part of that Baptist church, so we've known him and his wife for many, many years. And some of you all we've known now for several years, coming here to the gathering, and it's been delightful. This is an interesting group because we're here, and I know what's in the heart of Todd and others about this ministry. I spoke to a pastor years ago and said, "Pastor, man, I'm so excited. We need more equippers. We need more equippers." And I was so excited, and I was on fire, and I was trying to impress this pastor. Because Ephesians 5 had really gotten a hold of me, latched a hold of me about being equipped for the work of the ministry. And he towered over me, and looked down at me and said, "Ralph, we don't need more equippers." So we don't? I said, "No, we need more people that want to be equipped." And I thought, oh, wow. And that's what this actually is here. Hopefully in some way this ministry is helping equip and so that you yourselves can become those that can also equip others, that can then equip others. So that's what when we come here, I know that many of you are involved in ministry of some kind. Some of you have a desire for ministry. You're looking forward to what God's going to break open for you in your own personal ministry, maybe something God wants you to organize yourself and do some gathering. We'll just see where God's going to take you on that. But we're so thankful for this evening. So thankful. There, the word that I had that came that I've been sitting on here. It's the word. I am available for you. And I began to look at some scripture and began to really ponder on this. And many years ago in that Baptist church, there was a gentleman from, I forget where he was from, his name was Costa Dier. And Costa Dier had a handlebar mustache. And he was a brilliant preacher. He was an on-fire guy. But I always loved when he made a point, he would do this. And he twisted his handlebar mustache, and then he would lay something out. Just when he did that, look out, it's coming. Do you remember that, Doug? Do you remember that, Steve? Yeah. He said, and this is about 40 years ago, he said, "God is not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability." Never forgotten that in all these years. It's one of, I don't remember anything else Costa Dier said, but I remember that one statement. John 13 through 17, King James. I just want to see if I can get some of this imparted to you and that you can take and run with it. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, if you're Lord and teacher, and I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, this is an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Assuredly, I say to you, servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one that sent him. If you know these things that we know, these things that we're learning, these things that we are being imparted, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's such an incredible, simple word. Jesus is just saying, do what I do. What you've seen and heard of me, do it. We introduced many, many, many years ago, we were introduced to WWJD. You remember that phrase, WWJD. What would Jesus do? That came out of a little book and that I read. It was a wonderful little book. I don't remember the author's name, but it was about an entire town was turned upside down, and they all committed themselves to become people that did what Jesus did. And that's where WWJD came from, was out of that little booklet that was written. I think it was written in the 50s or 40s. I can't remember. I had it for a long, long time. If you do these things, blessed are you if you do them. One of the most important questions of our day, even more important due to what the God the Father is bringing to us into the horizon, is, are you available? What is on the horizon for this generation of people, this multi-generation of people? Many of us know that we feel, and we're confident, we're sitting right on the edge of this move that God is going to bring in, which many feel like could be the final move. I don't know that. I'm not looking at it that way. I just know that God has got his finger pointed on this season ahead. Is it 5 years? Is it? I don't know. But I'm telling you, we're right at the line. Many of you that have been with the Lord for years, you know there's something inside. There's something going on in the atmosphere. There's something going on in our nation. There's something going on around the world. God is fixing to do something, and many of us feel like we're right on that line. And the Lord is basically saying, are you available? We have to make sure that we're available. Some of the reflection for each of us as believers, how often do we reflect on our priorities? You know, the things that that are occupying our time in this fast-paced world that we're in, the mobility, jobs, families, news, things that are changing in our culture. There's a lot of for us to try to stay in balance. It's like, I don't want to get out of balance. There's so many things going on, yet I'm a believer, but there's so much going on. And we got this constantly. We're trying to balance this and that. And God is just, the word that I want us to know, are you available? That's he wants to know. In the middle of all that we're being pulled to, challenged with, whatever going on in your plate, in your work, in your family, in the back of our heart, back of our mind, God is saying, are you available? Because he needs to know that he has that, many of us would say it's that remnant. Now that remnant may be more than 7,000. It may be 7 million. It may, who knows what the remnant, but he's got that remnant that says, I'm available. I'm available. When we hear, we often hear about generosity. And generosity is a great thing. And a lot of times you'll hear maybe a ministry, maybe a teaching, that God wants us to understand generosity. You know, that we're, hey, I'm willing to pull my wallet out and give you. I'm willing to give, yeah, you need a book, you get my book. That generosity is wonderful, but that's not the only generosity that God is looking for. He's looking for you and I to take who we are and give it away. What's in us, that's the generosity God really needs to know. He said, I appreciate you doing something and dropping some money in that guy's tin can, Ralph, but what else are you gonna give him? He's okay knowing that I'm willing to sacrifice financially for somebody that's in need. But his other question is, well, that's wonderful, Ralph. I know that man was blessed. But what else are you willing to give? Where's the other generosity? And that comes from us giving ourselves. It's so easy. It's so easy to feel like, well, look at me. I just helped so-and-so with some dinner. Or I paid the guy's bill, something like that. It's wonderful. God blesses and he appreciates it. But in the background of who we are, is God is saying, are you really willing to give yourself away? That's what he needs to know, is that we're living a life that we're willing to give it for others. We're living to give it for him. It's not just about the money in my pocket. The last time somebody needed help that you were aware of, I don't know, maybe some of this is to Ralph. I mean, I was putting this against, oh, wow. How many times have you been confronted with somebody that needed this or needed that? Maybe, you know, and you're saying, you know, I don't have time for that. You might say, I don't have any money for that. You know, whatever their problem is. In other words, you're basically saying, I'm just not available for that right now. I'm too busy. There's a man in this room that about 9 months ago or 8 months ago prophesied that my work was going to go through the roof. Well, guess what? Ralph's work is through the roof, and Todd, the word came forth on Todd. But guess what? Ralph is having a very hard time with my time. So I often see something and say, oh, I really wish I could help, but I'm sorry, I don't have time for that right now. Anybody else in the room like that or just me? I mean, really. So real, in the life that we're living, I'm working out, I'm living out a prophetic word, and I'm like, Lord, I don't even pick up the phone and call anybody. My phone is ringing off the hook. I'm getting emails. Can you do this? Can you do that? And then sometimes I stop and say, wait a minute. If I do that, I can't do this. And that's where God is wanting to get that balance of, we've got to be able to know that I am available for what God is desiring. The Bible has a place which we can find perspective on this type of an issue. So let me run through just a few scripture. I apologize if I get a little bit long-winded. I have no idea what time it is. I haven't looked recently. But I want to suggest a couple of examples before I give some examples through scripture of people that we found out they were available. Just 1 Peter 2:21. Let me read this. It's so good. 1 Peter 2:21, King James Version. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. This is the WWJD. And I just mentioned that, excuse me. And we've seen the bracelets and all. It tells that story. And what would Jesus do? And it brings us today, tonight, to the situation of having to examine our own hearts. Actually, what Todd was leading off with, I was thinking, it basically, he's talking about almost the same thing. It's putting all of this together. You know, did we leave something in our background? When we start looking at what God is wanting, you say, Ralph, are you available? I have to turn around and look at times. If I'm doing that, what am I leaving back here? That's just our natural inclination. God, if you want me to step out here, what? And God says, you don't need to look back, Trav. You know, if he says, are you available? And he shows you what that availability means. Our instinct is, wait, what is this going to come? You're saying what? And he says, you can't, that's not how we live. We can't live always looking back. What am I leaving in order to do what God's called me to do? Often it's a price that we're going to pay. It may be the loss of something that we were holding on to. It might be a relationship. That's so hard. I don't know how many times I've heard people from the pulpit talk about, you know, you just got to be able to cut losses, cut your situation off. You know, when you're not a big relationship person, and then you get relationships, and then you hear a preacher say, well, you just need to cut those people off. It's like, wait a minute, you don't understand. I've only got about five of those. Do you want me to cut off? How many do you want me to cut off? You know? But God is saying, when we actually understand that he's leading us, that he's saying, are you available? Then come. And that often is going to be at a price. It might be relationships. It might be other things that are tangible. In a few specific examples, developing the prophetic ear and eye. So as we're looking at this whole idea of availability, listening, finding out, the prophetic ear and eye, are we listening? He's always speaking. Are we always listening? Because that is where we start this whole idea of availability. It starts with our hearing. It starts with our desire and our willingness to listen. And 1 Samuel 3:7, a very, very simple piece, Samuel said to the Lord, Lord, I'm listening. That's a very simple quote. Lord, I'm listening. I don't know how often I say that to the Lord, which then leads me to wonder, Ralph, how many times, how often are you listening for the Lord? You're so busy. You got the, you know, where I'm listening is a guy that's, you know, talking to me for 45 minutes on the telephone. I'm fully listening to that guy and I hang up. And then, am I hearing the Lord? And that verse is so sick. Lord, speak. I'm here. I'm listening. You know, speak, Lord. I'm here. And that needs to be our bent of our ears, our eyes, our heart. Lord, speak. I'm here. I'm listening to you. Isaiah 55:3 in the Message, it says, pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing word. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David, sure, solid, enduring love. Isaiah was imploring the people of Israel. He was saying, listen. The Lord was saying to the Isaiah, listen. You've got to be able to listen. Listen carefully. This encouragement has never been more important than where we stand as a society today. It's like God needs people out on the street just ringing a bell. Listen, God is speaking. You've got to hear, because our hearing is so cluttered with so many things. I have to ask you, how do you know you're hearing God? I don't have time. I was going to actually ask three or four of you to stand up and tell us, how do you know it's God? What is it? What's signaling? What's taking place here, that you know God's speaking to you? But folks, my friends, we have to understand. We have to get to that place. And if you're having a hard time hearing from the Lord, find someone. I'm asking you to do this. If you say, well, I hear people talking about, I hear from God, I'm sort of winging it. I'm sort of faking the whole thing out. I'm not hearing. Get with somebody that you know has a very confident relationship, and they're not boasting, but you know when it's coming out, you know they're hearing a word from the Lord. They're hearing counsel of God. We need to know, how does that take place? And if you're like many say, I'm sort of faking out. And how do I know I'm hearing from God? I'm reading the Word. The Word's true. God's speaking. Very good. Absolutely. But what about day in, day out? When God wants to use you, how do you know? Was that God or was that just me? So listening, being a part of this whole idea, of this whole thought of, are you available? Listening. Another one, it was David when he came up with the Philistines, and he came, he was ready. This was the Goliath encounter. And when Saul found out that this young kid was out there talking about he's ready to take this dude on, he said, bring him up here, talk to me. Well, David was only able to do that because we know, and David articulates, and he's presented to Saul, he articulates, I've heard from God. I've killed the lion and the bear. I've heard from God. I've done this. I've done that. He knew that he was hearing from God. He wasn't afraid of that big tall dude over there with a big spear and all that stuff. He knew that God was on his side. God was going to take care of it. And Saul, I can't imagine. What? Can you sit yourself in the throne of Saul and the king, and some little pitchweed comes up to you and he's like, I'm going to go knock that dude down. And he's like, what? You've got to be kidding. In today's vernacular, he'd say, you're kidding me. What are you talking about? And then he says, I've heard from God and I do all this. And she, man, have at it. Go for it. And yet, so David is an example. He's hearing from God. God often uses what we are not experienced in and what we believe is our weakness. Many people say, Ralph, I'm not good at that. Well, guess what? God may use you with that. Why? Why would he use me with what I'm not good at? So he gets so much more glory. Oh, folks, you know, we're so accustomed, we're so conditioned by the things of the world. I'm real good at this, that therefore this is what God wants you. I'm not saying that he's not going to use you in what you're very good at. Surely he will. But don't be surprised the day that you feel like, I'm feeling like God wants me to do that and I've never done it before and I'm scared spitless. God said, that's the reason I want you to do it. He wants us to step out of our comfort zone. He doesn't want us to just be comfortable. We're not to live the Christian life out of comfort. And some of us have known the Lord for so many years We've gotten really comfortable with some of the dynamics with the relationships of God. We know what he's going to ask. We know how this whole thing works. Oh, I know that he's generally going to use this. And, oh, I don't do that. No. But guess what? There's a bump in the road. There's a fork in the road. I said, I can't go that way. That's not the way I normally go. God said, yes, you are going to go that way. That's exactly where I want to pull you because I want all the glory. And I want to equip you. I want to continue to equip you. I want to continue to expand who you are in me and what I can do through you. Because you may be the only one at some point. You may be standing face to have to do something that you've never done in your life because you were afraid to do it. God said, you're my only person. You've got to be available. Are we available? Are we available? Are we that available? Say, God, use me in the thing that can I use this word? Use me in the thing I really suck at. Can you imagine me saying, the thing that I'm the worst at, please use me in that. That way I know that it's all you. It's nothing about me. This wasn't me. It wasn't my talent. It wasn't my gifting. It wasn't my experience. God, if you use me in that, whoo, you get all the praise, and I'm gonna be walking in air because I've never done that before. And that's the God that we serve. That's where we are as a people in these days that we're living in now. Let me jump to a couple of others, these real quickly. Judges 6:14. We know this story. This is Gideon. I love this story. Gideon and God's conversation. Gideon, we most of us know that he defeated the Midianites with 300 people rather than 21,000. I've often wondered if God did not have all of those people separated. At the end of the day, there was a desire in God's heart that this small band of people were going to conquer those people, and somehow that had to happen. And the only other way, if God had not had them prior to the war, back prior to the battle, if God had not had them go through these whatever you want to call them, to separate them out, and many left, and then suddenly there's 300. I fear that if that had not happened, if God had not used wisdom to cut all of those people out ahead of time, if he charged with 21,000 people, all but 300 would have been killed on the battlefield because God wanted to get the glory with 300 people, not with 21,000. Thank the Lord that he peeled all those people off before the 300 took those down. But I love as the Lord turned to Gideon and said to him, go in this might of yours. And I can hear Gideon saying, what did you just say? My might? I am this wimp from this little tiny family and from this other place. And so he gives God all of these excuses why you can't use me. And I just like, God says, go in the might that you have. And Gideon said, you talking to me? I can just see it. Like, you can't be talking to me. I have nothing. I have no might. I have no family. I have no honor. He basically was putting all the reasons in front of God why you can't use me. And what does God do? He uses him. So here he is, one of the people that maybe is represented by some of us in this room. You might say, Ralph, you don't know my background. Ralph, you have no idea what I've been through. Ralph, you don't know my family. You don't know the hardships. You don't know. I dropped out of school. I can't hold a job. You don't know anything about me. God can't. No, yes, he can. Gideon is a perfect example. He took that man, and then when he pushed all of his 21,000 but 300 aside, he said, now go get it. And what happened? They won the battle. They won the battle with 300 people and a man who said, I ain't no warrior, and there's nothing about me that's got anything that you just described, the might and the power that was within me. You're talking to the wrong guy. And yet God used him. So that's just another example. God can and does sometimes move us beyond our comfort and bypasses our skills and experience. The Paul the Apostle, it's a beautiful story in Acts 22, verse 3 through 5. This is where many of us love to read this. This is Paul basically stating his credentials, you could say. And I love this. He says, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the wisest teacher in his generation amongst the Jews, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are all today. I persecuted this way, meaning the first church, to death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Also, the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren, and I went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there into Jerusalem to be punished. He's basically saying, this is who I am. And he's boasting in front of Jews. This is who I am. They all knew who he was. They all knew how powerful this guy was. And then he says, where does he end up going? After he's saying, look at what I've done in the Jewish faith, where does he go? He goes to the Gentiles. God calls it to the Gentiles, who had no honor among the Jews, who were disliked, who were basically shunned and put aside. And God calls him to go. And imagine that the leaders of the Jewish faith, they said, where's Paul going? And they start talking. He's going, oh, what is he going over there for? To meet those people. God had equipped this man so much. And even though all of the evil that he did, God takes this man and takes him to a group of people, meaning the Gentiles. And of course, all of us who aren't Jews technically are all Gentiles. But he takes this Jewish leader, this honorable man in the Jewish faith, and he uses him to go after people that, if you were a Jew, you wouldn't have given 2 cents to have anything to do with these folks over here. That's how God takes even our best that we've got. We might boast about, I am so well trained. I've been to college 4 years. I've got my MDiv. I've been a pastor for 14 years. I've led so many people to the Lord. And God says, yes, but I want you to go down there to that really dinky little spot. It's really dark down there. There's just a lot of trash in the road, and there's really, really poor people. And I can see the pastor say, huh? You what? You went to do what? Wait a minute. I've got this big celebration. We got this big worship band coming in, and we're going to have a big conference. And said, that's fine, but would you mind taking all that you know and all that you've succeeded and all the glory that you sort of don't admit you are trying to get, but you do anyway. But can you just go down the corner? We've got a couple of people down there that really need to hear the gospel. So he'll take us even where we feel like this is where I really am thriving, I'm really fruitful, and God taps you on the shoulder and says, thank you very much, but I want you to go down there. And he's going to do that. Some of us in that room, he's going to mix up what you think is the direction. He said, I'm called to minister to these people. And then you feel a tap on your shoulder and a whisper in there and say, turn around. I need you over there. He said, whoa, wait a minute. I've invested. I need you over there. God needs your availability. He needs my availability. Wherever he needs me, wherever he needs you, that's where we want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Let me try to run through here real quick. Often where we're available, it takes courage. I love the story of David desires the water to drink after this incredible confrontation, and they're involved in all of this. And these three guys hear that King David wants something to drink. They risked everything, running through enemy lines to go find him water. They run back through enemy lines. They show up with the water because this is what the king needed. They risked everything, all of their comfort, everything that they could have just stood right there beside him like everybody else and holding their spears and say, nodding to the king and nodding to whoever. And David sort of said, man, I'm really thirsty. But what do? Three of them said, let's go get it. And they took off running. Sometimes God is going to have us. I'm very comfortable doing what I'm doing. I'm fruitful in it. I like doing it. God seems to be blessing it. I mean, we're having very, very successful things going on, and people are, and this is really, and God, I'm telling you folks, we're in this season. What's coming to us, what we're walking into, God is going to interrupt your and my comfort. This is what I do. I love doing it. How many of you, no, this is not being critical. How many of you love the ministry that God's called you to do? How many of you love it? I mean, just to be honest, I love it. You know, you might say, I love it. If many of you in this room, you're among the homeless. You're among the poor. Many of you, you know, I want to be used in healing. Some of us are, you know, are pulpit folks. We like to minister from a teaching standpoint. And that's our comfort level. I'm really comfortable. And God said, I'm so glad. Thank you for what you're doing. But I want you to turn around. And do you mind, like, getting on the floor and helping with the children's ministry? What? You got me kidding. I did that 40 years ago. Would you mind getting on your knees and helping the children's ministry? That's where we're going. The need is going to be so incredible as we step into this season that's coming, and God is pouring His Spirit out, and people are hungry. People are crying out to be saved. They're crying out to understand, who is this Jesus? They're crying out to say, I don't know what to do. And somebody come tell me what to do. And you're going to find, that just like me, you're going to find God's got me stepping into something I have never stepped into. I have no clue what I'm doing. But I'm ready. I'm available. Now, I'm going to get to one other point in just one second about what I just said. And of course, availability is not a spectator sport, but also availability is not a sport between ladies and guys. He's asking it for each. You know, a long time ago as we were coming up in the church, I remember that Ruth Graham Lott, which was Billy Graham's sister, I remember a testimony. Ruth Graham Lott said, yeah, well, I go to Central America to preach. And so she had this testimony about ministry in Central America. And I was sort of, well, this is interesting. She said, but I have to preach under the trees outside. I can't preach in the building because I'm a woman. We've come a long way, folks. But the point is, this is not a gender situation. God is calling the women, and He's calling us men. There is no difference in the kingdom of God. The word says it. There's no difference. We are all equal in the kingdom. And He may tap on some lady to do something that I thought I was supposed to do. And God said, well, you didn't move fast enough, Ralph. I've got to use her. And you know what? I've got to champion that woman up. I don't need to get my feelings hurt. So, wait a minute. I need to be doing what happened with Deborah. And who was the dude that was with Deborah?
Sarah.
Who?
Sarah?
Yeah. Yeah, so he basically pushes Deborah forward and said, would you mind doing this? If you'll do it, I'll go. And then I can see her with a big smile. I'll be happy to do it, but you ain't going to get no credit, buddy. when we succeed, you ain't going to get no credit for this. A woman is going to be getting the credit for it. And I've always found that to be a wonderful time, just a wonderful, wonderful picture. When Patty and I were our first time, I think it's the first or second time in South Africa, Patty shared this testimony a number of times. I was supposed to, now in South Africa, in 2000, we were there in 2000, and we were back in 2001 and 2. Something a long time ago. Well, back in those days, in the Christian church, it was pretty much male dominated. The society was male dominated. So my friend Peter, and some of you have met Peter, Peter Van Nieker grew up in that environment. So Peter just, honestly, he sort of like had this man mentality about, you know, the ladies just need to sit and be quiet. That was sort of, not that harsh. He was very, very loving and very honored. But when it came to certain kind of ministry things, you could tell it was a male-dominated church. And wherever we went, we could see that. We went to an Indian village, and a bunch of Indian, from India, were there. And we were so fascinated. Patty comes walking in with me, and all of the men sit down to eat, and all the ladies are serving, and then they back up against the wall. And all the men are sitting here, and one lady sitting in that table, and that's my wife, because she's with me. And Patty says, where are the ladies at? We turn around and say, they're all over there. They eat after the men. The men finish, the ladies clean up, and then they sit and eat. So that was the culture in that era, and Patty was. And this really broke a lot of lies. Peter asked Patty to preach one Sunday morning, and she had read everything there was at that point about women in ministry and things such as that, some of the current books that were on the market. She had a sign around her neck that said, out of order, when she stood to the pulpit. But in order for me to introduce her, I did a James Brown routine. And I grabbed the mic and I swung the mic around. God said, it's a man's world. You remember that? James Brown? And I ran over here and I swung it. It's a man's world. Because that's what it was in year 2001 in South Africa. In the church was a man's world. And I did that about 3-4 times. And they all knew who James Brown was. They thought it was hilarious. And then I handed the mic to Patty. And right out of her mouth says, do you see this? I'm out of order. And everybody was like, what is she fixing to do? But you know what was so interesting? Is from that year forward, there was a shift in the atmosphere of that church. And I know that God used Patty to do that. And woke up the women and woke up the men saying, this isn't about genders. This is about, we are all here to carry out the commission that God has called us as a people. And that's, you know, and the Deborah picture is just such a beautiful, beautiful picture. One other scripture here, and I'll stop. 2 Corinthians 1:5 in the Message says, God comes alongside of us when you grow through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. And so often, we say, God, why am I going through this? And then Todd was sort of touching on some of this earlier. God, why am I going through this? I'm going through such a tough time. Why am I going through this? The next question is, God, is this for somebody else other than me? Is this for somebody else? Am I walking this because you've got somebody else that you're going to connect me with, and I'm going to be able to say, let me tell you how I made it through that? Because that is who we are. You know, in the body of Christ, one of the scariest things in the body of Christ to me, and it's prevalent often in the churches today, and that's the word called offense. And offense can go rampant, and it can go wild, and it can go crazy in a congregation. Be on the guard for that. Whatever you've got to do, you cannot live with an offense. If you've been offended, you need to try to deal with it with whoever it is. If you can't, then you've got to deal with it with the Lord. The Lord will take that away. And if you're the offender, oh, we have got to overcome this, because we need an army that is locked together, shoulder to shoulder, not with a fence standing between us and keeping us from doing all that God has called us to do. I'm skipping over an awful lot of stuff, but I hope this is meaning something to you. I have one other little caveat I want to mention. When we talk about availability, and we want to be able to say to God, Lord, I am available. I learned as I was putting this together, availability is wonderful. It really is. And for us to say, God, I am available. I'm available. But the other word is, are you ready? Availability definition: able to be used or obtained at someone's disposal, not otherwise occupied, free to do something. That is available. God, I am here, available for whatever you have. And then the word comes up. God says, and I don't mean to contradict myself, and I might sound like him if I do, my apology. And God whispers in my ear, said, I'm glad you're available. Are you ready? So, wait a minute. I told you I was available, but are you ready? And here's what ready means. Listen to this. Number one, easily available. Number two, in a suitable state for an activity or action. Within reach, eager, inclined, willing to do something. God is saying, I want your availability, but I want you to be ready for what I'm going to bring you into. What are you doing and what am I doing to make sure that I'm ready? Here's a couple of things. I may be able to find it here. can't find it. But I'm in military. I've got a platoon. Man, they are all available. But I have to turn around and look. Are all of you guys ready? Is every soldier ready? You're available, but I can't take you out on the field if you're not ready. I appreciate your availability. Are you ready? I've got a worship team, and we're working, and boy, we have got great sounds and everything else, and we're all available. And then that one person says, yeah, but I don't know that song. I'm not ready. You know, you might be in a classroom full of children. You say, man, I've got this class. Man, they are available to do whatever. And then you find out, yes, they're available, but there's two or three that didn't show up for the last 2 weeks. They don't know exactly what. They're available. They're willing to. They don't know what they're doing. God says, I need your availability, but I want you to be ready. How do we be ready? This is where the equipping comes in. This is what this is all about. This is what this evening, this is what Todd, the vision that God gave Todd. We can all say, if you're available, raise your hand. We can all raise our hand. And Todd says, okay, well, we're going to march down in the streets of Chapin, and we're going to knock on every door in the house, and we're going to lead everybody. Wait a minute. I don't even quite know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Well, you're not ready. But I'm available. You're not ready. God says to us tonight, I need your availability. Are you willing to be available? And then he whispers, but be ready when I knock on your door. Be ready. I want to do something as a close here. If you want to follow me, it's real easy. I just want to shout. And what I'm going to shout is, Lord, I'm available.
Lord, I'm available.
Wait. God, do it together. And we're going to shout that two times. And we're going to just say, Lord, I'm available. Now, God's listening. We might have a hard time hearing him. He doesn't have any difficulty hearing you and me. That's a guarantee. He doesn't have any problem hearing us. We might have problem on our hearing. We don't quite know how to understand the voice of God. Maybe our listening needs to be tweaked and helped. As I said earlier, if that's an area where you say, Ralph, I appreciate it. I'm not sure that I'm hearing God. I'm faithing it out because I think it's the right thing to do. Then you get with somebody that you know that hears God. Let them help counsel. Help them let pray through that with you so that you can, in these weeks ahead, you can say, I'm beginning to hear from God. Personal testimony. My wife has been a seer for almost all of her Christian life. Matter of fact, Satish Rabordi, the founder of our church, who is now with the Lord, used to tell Patty and said it in front of other prophets, you're one of the top seers in the nation. He saw that she's a seer. She functions often on what she's seen. But I had to ask Patty years ago, what does it sound like when you hear from God? I don't know that I'm hearing from God. And so we've had those kind of conversations. I can say today that I understand how Ralph functions in relationship with the Lord. I know how I hear from the Lord. But it took me some time being around prophets, to be around other people that heard clearly, and I would listen. I would just try to pick up, and Patty was a great influence on my life of how to know that I'm hearing. So what I'm saying to us tonight is I'm going to ask us, Lord, I'm available, but I'm also ready. Now, that may be a faith state. You may say, Ralph, I'm not ready tonight. That's okay. We're calling those things maybe that are not as though they are. But this is a challenge for us tonight. Lord, I am available. Lord, I am ready. And I want to say this to you. It's not going to embarrass me, and please don't you be embarrassed. If you don't think you're ready, then don't shout out, I am ready. Say, I'm going to be ready. I want to be ready. Are we okay? We're going to close this. We're going to, on the count of three, we're going to shout out twice, Lord, I am available. And then we're going to stop. And then we're going to count to three. We're going to say, Lord, I am ready. Or I am becoming ready. Or Lord, make me ready. Lord, help me to be ready. However you want to say it. Doesn't matter. We just want God to hear our voice tonight. We need to understand how to listen, how to see, how to hear, and yet we're declaring to God right now, I'm available. And honestly, I may not feel quite ready, but I'm going to declare that I'm ready. I'm ready to be made ready. How about that? You ready to be made ready?
Amen.
I'm ready to be made ready. Okay. We're going to do the Lord, I'm available twice, and then we're going to stop. Then we're going to do Lord, I am ready, or Lord, I'm ready to become ready. All right, any way you want to say it. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Lord, I am available. Lord, I am available. 1, 2, 3. Lord, I am ready. Lord, I am ready. In Jesus' name, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. In closing, the young lady over here in the blue shirt, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, Jane. I was sitting there and I kept being leaning over to look at you. And at the same time, the word that was coming forth to me when I looked at you was word of knowledge. I don't know if you move out in word of knowledge, but it was as though there is an anointing for word of knowledge that God is wanting to land in your lap tonight. And do you know what the word of knowledge is? You know what that is? And I don't, maybe you move in that, I'm not sure, but it was like God said, there's anointing, I'm gonna drop on this woman over here, and it's about the word of knowledge. And then when I heard word of knowledge, I felt like that there was, in this atmosphere, now, you said Jamie? So Jamie was the first person that I looked at. God said, minister that to her. And then as I was thinking about that, as I was pondering that, the Father just said there is an atmosphere in this room. There is an anointing for the word of knowledge. And I want to say this. If you feel that you, that is an area that God's been speaking to you or trying to use you in, maybe you've done some work, I just want you to reach up and grab it, because I felt like there was an anointing for the word of knowledge, and we need to reach out and say, God, I want that. I will be faithful with that. So if you're one of those that say, I would love for God to use me in word of knowledge, I felt the Lord said, it's in the atmosphere, reach up and get it, because I want to open that up to many of the people in this room tonight. In Jesus' name. Patty, did you have anything?
I have something different, and I'm just going to say it. You know, people drink alcohol, and they drink beer, and they drink wine, but there's somebody here that drinks too much beer, and I think it's affecting them. They probably don't think it's affecting them, but the Lord sees it as a problem for them, and they need to pull back on drinking the beer. Maybe lay it aside. But I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I heard. And also for y'all, I see the Lord Todd in here. I see it. The atmosphere around y'all is just like this. And all of a sudden, there's this great big light that comes down and goes boom, right beside you. Then another one comes, and another one comes, and before you know it, you are so lit up you can hardly stand it. I feel like God is bringing you revelation in a way that neither one of you have ever understood it. I feel like he's going to give you words of wisdom that you've probably desired to hear, but you're going to start hearing. I feel like there's things that are coming to y'all very quickly that are going to change you tremendously. And I feel like that even where y'all sometimes are very weary, God says, I'm going to remove that weariness. But I feel like it's like this great big spirit of revelation that just drops right down beside you. The spirit of wisdom drops right down beside you. Healing drops right down beside you. And even in days to come, you're going to see something that's not with life, and you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, rise. I just see these it's like God's going to light you up like you wouldn't believe. And there's not going to be any darkness around you at all. It's going to be very, very light.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you. I knew I was going to get a word tonight. You really impressed me, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that. Yes, you. And kind of going back to my coaching days, you know, I would spot talent and the Lord would kind of direct me, you know. Nobody else would recruit that person. And I would not only recruit him, but I would give him a full ride. And then all these other coaches thought I was crazy. You know, and then the girl ended up becoming, you know, champion and winning the conference and all that stuff. And then they realized I wasn't crazy. I just was able to, by the Spirit of God, pick out the talent. And I just wanted to tell you that. And so there's a scripture here that the Lord was giving me. He says, I've set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silent, and give him no rest until he establishes. Now, I'm speaking here specifically about Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth, but I'm saying this to you because I don't know what it is that you're engaged in or what you do or anything like that, but apparently the Lord is instructing, if this is the Lord, I'd be judged, that you are to do that, and he is going to establish. And I just see a prophetic mantle being placed in your ministry, and I see a boldness coming with it. It's not going to be just that. There's a boldness. And then this is not the man's boldness. It's the God's boldness. It's something that you've moved in before, but you got kicked as a result because you moved in it, and that was to try to discourage you, actually. But the Lord is telling me to tell you tonight to be encouraged, that release his word with a boldness, because it will carry an accuracy, but not only in an anointing, but it also will carry a demonstration that what the words that you say, when they're his words, he will watch over them, they will be performed, not in years, but within weeks. So I just want to encourage you, there's some type of shifting that's going to occur in your life and the things that you're engaged with through this type of strategy. Amen? Did I say that right? Yeah, I think I did. Amen. That was so good. Praise God. Does that mean anything to you?
Well,
praise God. Praise God. We're just confirming now. Need some confirmation back there, Brenda? You want some confirmation? Amen. Well, I'll give you some confirmation as soon as it gets in my mouth. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, I as I sit there, I see a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and this is kind of not a normal prophecy for me. But, you know, it takes a special person to actually put together a jigsaw puzzle. It's not your average person just doesn't know, you know, let's see where this goes, where that goes, where this goes. And in a sense, that's what you're doing right now. And God's giving you these pieces, but you're not quite sure how they all fit together. And so the Holy Spirit is leading you through others of assistance, and you're going to put this thing together, and it'll form the very picture. But you don't know what that picture is yet. That's why it's so difficult for you, because here you are trying to put together the puzzle, and usually the jigsaw puzzle, you have at least the box sitting there to tell you what it looks like. You don't even have the box, which directs you to be specific in prayer. Ask the Lord for the picture of the vision. You need more than the vision. You need the picture of the vision. And you know this because I know you're creative. You know this, and all those that you are creative and you understand this, that once that picture forms, it's easier to implement. And so that is what the Lord was telling me to tell you, to seek him on the picture, and he'll give you that. And then you'll be able to put together, and it'll look just the way that you're seeing it, you know. Because, see, the thing is, with this particular thing you're involved in, it's his vision, his picture. He's the one that holds all of that. And so you're not able to operate off of your own giftings. You're actually blind, in a sense, to your own gift, to natural giftings. But you're not blind to the gifts of the Spirit, and to be encouraged in that, because God wants to accelerate the moves of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through you to even a greater dimension than before, because God says, I will bring numbers into your life, whatever that means. That means nothing to me, but he will bring numbers. Amen. And allow it to be judged. If it's not right, bring a rock and Amen. Take me out. Amen. Say what?
I love
you. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Oh, so you're laughing? Oh, really? Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God just knows us, doesn't he? Amen. Now, here's another person over here who doesn't like Jake Paul puzzles, and that's, right, Shannon, you don't like jigsaw puzzles, do you? You don't care? You're open for it? Okay, well, this is a birthday present. Okay? Just remember, man that has everything needs another puzzle in his life, all right? God is so good. Amen. Yeah, no, he's like, well, I don't know if I want the puzzle. Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to read you. I can't read that. Amen. God bless you. So good. It brings joy to entertain. Walks in the room. He just, I don't know, there's something about him that lifts me up. You're like that too, Bill Burn. Robert, would you do that too? How do you do that, Robert?
In
our with a positive attitude. And, God is so good. I think that's everybody. I'm not sure. You guys are just easy. God is so good. When are we going to get some rest? You know, I just see the peace and the rest of God, a season of rest, a season of consistency, a season of step upon step, precept upon precept, you know, where it's almost like it's laid out, like God throws the map out. You know, he has the map. He's like, God, will you please just unload the map, because you know you've got it. We're seeking you for it. And all of a sudden, God just throws it down, and he just gives you a little piece of it. Then give it all to you, but he's going to give you another piece of the map. And it's very important to implement what he puts before you in terms of that map, because it will produce fruit. One of the things about God is always consistent, always produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And one of that fruit is peace. And God wants to bring peace to your household. It's not, I know you guys are at peace. I see you guys are fine. It's just that you're involved in all kinds of other whirlwinds and tornadoes. These tornadoes have been dropping down and pulling back up, and then the one drops over here and pulls back up, and you're just, you know, it's not affecting you on a personal level, but it affects you on a social level, and it's been very hard for you, very difficult for you, and you're just wondering, are we ever going to get a break from this cycle? And so you're moving into a different season, and that's all I can say. It won't be tornadoes, okay? But there is other types of... So just be encouraged, okay? In Jesus' name, you got what it takes, all right? Because anytime there's a birth of anything, you know, it's messy, it's painful, it's all those things. But once the baby's there, it's great, you know. It's so something's just about to be birthed. So just know that that's what you're experiencing. Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jamie, everybody's been giving you words, and I'm just sitting here. I feel like I'm being left out. And so can I come over and just give you a word? Okay? Amen. That's so good. Amen. You know, transition is something that, you know, gets laid on us at times. But when God throws a transition on us, you wonder, well, what am I transitioning actually into? Because when you only know one thing, or you know something, or you're familiar with it, or you're doing something for a period of time, you know what I'm saying? When you think about transition, when you've already done three or four of those, well, what's that going to look like? What are you transitioning me into, you know? And so you have to take a look at how he's training you currently and what's going on around you, and is it possible, what is he preparing you for? You can actually identify more about your transition through your training, then you can actually get a word of knowledge of what that transition is. Because it's more than just repositioning. It's more than just another assignment. It's more than just another job. It's more than all of those things. It's specific in nature. And when you understand that transition, you're empowered before you enter into it to make the transition smooth. Now, many people don't go through smooth transitions. God has to sometimes slam a door in their face because they won't transition out. Talk to them. Got to move. And they don't do it. And he just stops. I mean, it's almost like, I'm sure he keeps talking, but it's like he stops, you know. But another person is ready for that. They sense a change. some type of change on the horizon. And you've been sensing this for a period of time. This is not a new word to you. And you know that there's something more, that there's something that's going to change. And it's almost like, it's not really retirement, by the way. It's going to feel like it, and it's going to look like it. But then when you actually enter into it, then there's going to be an unfolding of something completely new that you never, ever saw coming, and yet God has been training you for years to walk into it. There's an authority with that. And just in that words of knowledge, it's that these are things that are coming to you. I know you move in those words of knowledge, but it's the job that is before you, okay? And I see that really being very, very specific in nature, and where God is able to just speak a word to you in a moment, and you hear clearly what it is the Lord is telling you. But the words of knowledge, as you know, and the gifts are for other people. And I see you really being skillful on how God uses them. Because, you know, like you said, you talked about availability, okay, but then you just talked about being ready. Because there's a lot of people that get on fire for God that wanted to start talking and doing all kinds of things. And the zeal of God consumes them, you know. It burns within them. But zeal without knowledge is dangerous and can be destructive to an individual. And so many people got hurt in the body of Christ. I really appreciated that word. Really good. Because we need to hear that. Because this is true of all of us. You know, we are available, but are we trained? And so we need to allow that to take place. But I really sense that you're in a season where not only are you available, and you've made yourself available time and time again, when you didn't, I mean, most people would not have made themselves available. Why you did that? You have a martyr, I guess, complex or something, you know? I'm not saying because you're married to him, you've had one. Don't read into that, okay? Because he's over there going, yeah, she does, she does. but you, what I'm saying is, I'm trying to give you a compliment by the Spirit. Is that the Spirit of God is telling me in my brain, okay, but my brain's on, that you, praise the Lord, I'm getting happier, have somehow accomplished something in the Lord where you are ready. You have been trained. And because you had that martyr complex, because you were willing to martyr yourself, you know, and do it. I will do it. Nobody else will do it. I will do it. Time and time again, I see this in your brain where you've stepped into exploits that nobody else would do, but you did. But you didn't realize it's preparing you for this next phase of hopefully not martyr complex, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Amen. I'm going to be quiet now. Praise God. Well, this got on tape, and Lewis has been out because his wife has been dealing with some stuff, and we need to lift her up tonight. Let's just do that right now. Lord, I just lift up Linda to you, God. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, the presence that's in this place, your power that's in this place, we just release your healing power from this place right now, right where she's sitting, right where Lewis is, right where they're sitting right now. You would touch her, Lord God. And I just curse this virus from its roots right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the goodness you've done tonight. We thank you for the blessing that's been in your presence. We just ask you to continue to manifest yourself in our lives this week. Let this word go deep within our hearts tonight, Lord God, of availability, but also being prepared. We just thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.